Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia's Noonday Bible Study. We are thankful to God for another time that we can come together and share in the Word of God. We are so excited about what God is doing here at Light of the World. God is great, He's awesome, and He is magnificent. And we give Him all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. We bless Him. We magnify Him. We give Him glory from ever and ever because truly He is worthy to be praised. We are located at 5883 Highway 155 North in Stockbridge, Georgia. And we have our senior pastor, which is Bishop Kevin J. Jones, and our co-founder, Archbishop Duke W. Smith. We are so excited about what God is doing. We are getting ready for Holy Convocation. It is less than a month away. Oh, my God, time is swiftly moving by. Amen. So we thank God we are here today to go and get into the Word of God where we are dealing with Acts, the 27th chapter. And so as we get started, we're going to open in the Word of Prayer. And we're going to, Father God, we thank you for this day, God. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for another day you spared our lives, God. Oh, God, it was not our alarm clock that wake us up this morning. It was your mercy and your grace, your finger of love that touched us this morning, and we were able to get up, amen, and put our clothes on, wash our bodies. Oh, God, thank you, Lord God. We have the use and activity of our limbs. Thank you, God. We have reasonable strength in our bodies, God. We have health, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, for this is the day that you have made. God, we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah, because truly this is the day, and we are glad to be in this day that you have made good glory out of our lives. We want nothing else but for your glory to be revealed today. We ask you, oh God, remove us, oh God, but let your anointing, your Holy Ghost power, God, reveal to us what your word is saying to us today. We thank God for those who are here in the building and those who are online. We ask you to bless them. Oh, God, give them something extra special today from your word, oh, God, that we will be able to go on and fight a little longer, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen, amen. We thank God for today. Amen. We're going to bring Ella Ford live. Ella Ford, you're not live on the air, Ella Ford. We're so glad that you're here with us. And all those of you here in the building, we thank God for you, and especially you. Today, we're going to be starting a new chapter. And we're almost the end of Acts, where we see and we have identified that the Holy Ghost was moving through the apostles and mainly down the latter part the book of Acts, we see where Paul is the apostle being used, by the Holy Ghost to demonstrate the power of God in this earth. And, that's why we're here. We're still here because God wanted to demonstrate his power in the earth through us. And so that's why we have to have the Holy Ghost while we're still in this body, still in this flesh. We need the Holy Ghost. Not only just to be a witness, but also to keep us so that we can be kept and we can do what thus said the Lord. So we see where Paul had finished in 26 chapter. Paul had finished his defense on what they were accusing him of. And King Agrippa, after listening to Paul, begin to say and call all of them in question and says, listen, there is no fault in this man. We have heard his testimony. We heard the accusers, and there is no fault we find in this man. But because he is a Roman citizen and he requested to go before Caesar, we have to send him to Caesar because that's the right of the Roman citizen. And so we see, well, we're in the 27th chapter where his voyage to Rome began. And so Paul and his companions, endangered by the tempest, they're going to have a lot of adventures on this trip to voyage, I mean, to Rome. And so we see where Paul is still confident that God has him in control, and God is going to do what he needs to do in him and through him. And so we thank God today for everything that we're going to hear from what God is doing. Amen. And so now we're going to give a little commentary from verse 1 through 11. And it says, it was determined by the counsel of God before it was determined by the counsel of Festus. So like we said last week, this trip to Rome was not based on what Festus wanted to do. It was based on what God wanted to do through him. And so we see where now that God wants to use us in glory no matter what is going on in our lives, no matter what is being done. We know God's glory is going to be done. And so we see where whatever's being done now is not in the control of what man is doing, but is controlled by what God and the Holy Ghost is doing through these people. So we thank God today for us being led by the Spirit of God, and we know that God wants to do something special in our lives. And so amen. Hallelujah. So we thank God for those who are just coming in. We're in the book of Acts, 27th chapter. We're going to start reading from verse 1. So we're going to ask Sister Ollie, if you don't mind starting on verse 1 and 2. Okay. Anybody ready? Okay.
And when it was decided that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustan regiment. So entering the ship of I can't say it, but we put to sea, meaning to sail along the coast of Asia. Mm-hmm. Artisius, a Mandidotian of Thessalonia, was with us.
Mm-hmm.
So they get ready to start their journey to Rome, as the Lord had already said that he would be able to go and spread the word. And he's introduced to the prisoner, Paul is introduced to Julius,
mm-hmm.
who he has a liking to him. And they're getting ready to start their new journey
mm-hmm.
to sail to Rome.
Mm-hmm. So Paul, them are now transitioning from the barracks that he was in. Now he's getting ready to set sail to where God wanted him to be, which is in Rome. And so if we know that God is, Luke is identifying the people that is in the midst with Paul. So you got a centurion. His name is Julius. Okay, so this is a soldier who is in charge now of Paul. And anytime you're assigned to a prisoner, it's a life sentence. When you're assigned to a prisoner, is a life sentence. If something happens to that prisoner, you remember the jailer in the Philippian jailer? When he thought that Peter then was gone, he said, I might as well do myself in, because my life is tied to these prisoners. If they escape, my life is in jeopardy. So now Julius is put in the same position where now his life is tied to Paul and all the prisoners that's on the ship. So he's been put in charge. And, you know, when you're put in charge, you are responsible. And a lot of people want authority but not responsibility. Now, responsibility comes with authority. But the people only like the authority. Oh, I'm in charge. You got to come see me. Oh, it's me you got to see. You don't do this, don't do that. But with all authority comes responsibility. Oh, my goodness. And some of us miss it. All we want to know is, I'm in charge. I got the keys. I got authority. But there's responsibility. I have the keys to the community center.
Mm-hmm.
But the responsibility is I got to make sure everything over there is right. If nobody else secured a place, if nobody else turned the lights off, nobody else turned the air conditioning off, nobody checked the bathroom, it's me. Having a key don't mean nothing unless I'm doing what I need to do. So in life, in when we have authority to loose and to bind, but we also got a responsibility to loose and to bind. So we can't just take it one part of, you know, we all want a good part. We all want a good part. Yeah, I got keys. Yeah, but you also got responsibility. So it's put in. Julius is put in charge of all these prisoners going from one destination to the other. Yeah, he's the leader. So everything is under his authority. And so, you know, I don't know if he's familiar with the seas and all this kind of stuff, but he's been put in authority. So if he don't have the knowledge, he better have somebody who has the knowledge. Because you don't have to know everything.
Navigation, so I don't know.
Yeah. So, and then he entered the ship, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, and one, whatever his name is, so somebody from Macedonia is along. So Macedonian in a Thessalonica. So. What Luke is doing now is saying that Paul have been surrounded by people who he's familiar with, in addition to being under the auspices of Julius. So he's still familiar. He has some people around who he should be familiar with because he's been doing missions in Thessalonica.
Mm-hmm.
So Luke is laying out, he's just putting these names out so we can know that Paul necessarily ain't alone. So a lot of times when you're in a place, when you think you're alone, you're really not. Even if the angelic beings got to be your company, you're not going to be alone. So Paul on this journey don't have to feel isolated, because now he have people of familiarity on this trip with him. Amen. Ella Ford, do you have any comment on that?
Pastor Butterfield, good afternoon. I just wanted to add that all that you have been saying comes under one word, and that is favor. Paul is setting out on his journey. He knows where he is going. Even in the first verse, they talk about Paul by name, and then they say some other prisoners. It's
mm-hmm.
as though, again, the reinforcement that this man has done no wrong, but he's just fulfilling what God wants him to do. And this is why when we come down in that second verse, there's mention of Aristarchus from Macedonia, again, and Luke, again, we have Paul in the company, as you said, of people that he knows. Now, he's supposed to be a prisoner. He's supposed to be looked upon in a bad light, but yet the favor of God is putting him safely on this boat, not necessarily designated as a prisoner, and he's in the company of those that know him. So it's almost as though, even though it's a bad situation, Paul is relaxing on a seaside cruise to Italy. And isn't God good that he can do that? Amen.
That's right. Amen. Amen. So,
it's favor.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to say the word is favor. Yes, yes.
Also, I thank you for the student, like he said, I'll say that a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't that this ship was ordered just to take him. You know, God's timing is everything. And here it is. They decided at that time, but the ship was already
scheduled to go
that way anyway, because it was making these chartered stops along the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I think that too, since Elder said about favor. Yeah, yeah. So it was just like, hey, when I decide to go, a ship is ready. It's like, what? Wait a minute. So, yeah, it's just like you said, timing, and God has everything strategically planned.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus, I know, in the New Testament, he already knew when things were going to be scheduled and whatever, you know, and he told the disciples, yeah, you go down the street called Straight, and you're going to see a man or a woman carrying a bag. I'm like, what? Okay, so it wasn't that, you know, they even knew. But I think, you know, that this it was very ironic that at the time that they decided to go.
Prophetic.
Yeah, prophetic. Oh, sure. A ship was already going that way.
And you know that is the case even when you think about they wanted to kill Jesus before time. You remember that?
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And he just slipped out of the crowd. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
Because timing is everything. And so his death had to be right around Passover. The timing had to be right, so they couldn't kill him before time. They wanted to. They tried to. But because his death has to be coincide, oh my God, with the word of God. So when what the words say about you trumps everything else. No matter, you can be in a dungeon, you can be in a lion's den, but if the word already said it about you, that you're not going to be eaten by the lion. You're not going to die in a dungeon. It don't matter what it looks like right now. Something got to change. Because if you think about timing, they wanted to kill. I mean, they set it up. But he just slipped through the crowd and made his escape. And you can say Jesus was running, but it's all timing. And when Jesus was in the upper room, when the Spirit moved on Judas, Jesus said, what you going to do? Because timing. Even your enemies got time to do what they got to do. Think about it. They got the very time that the enemies strike out at you is the time that God wants you to be put in the place, because we ain't going to go there willingly. Some places we ain't gonna go willingly. So we gotta make somebody we gotta make somebody kick us there. Because we ain't gonna go on our own. Right? And so that's, God loves us enough to do that. You was gonna say something? I'm sorry.
And some people on here.
That's just backup. That's
yes.
Just confirmation to make you think about, okay, I've already been given the assignment that I'm going to Rome.
Mm-hmm.
And here it is. I got some backup now. I got some people that I'm familiar with that understand the different things that I've already done.
Mm-hmm.
So we always work it out. He always. I don't care what it looked like. what it says or whatever, he always got a plan, and it always works in your favor. He will always give you something that you need, your tools, whatever you need, it's going to always be there.
And he will always confirm.
Yeah.
So we don't have to be at ease when we don't understand something. Seek him. Ask him for it. He'll tell you. If he got to do it with a billboard, if he got to do it with a TV commercial, he will confirm what he say to you. Some child will say something. He going to find a way to make sure he confirm what he wants to say to you. So you don't have to be confused. You don't have to be confused. Sometimes we confuse because we want it. We trying to do it on our own. If we let the Holy Ghost lead us and talk to us, we'll be all right. Now verse 3 is really should have been included in this because it really coordinates what we're talking about. Sister Ollie, you want to read verse 3?
We arrived in Sidon.
Mm-hmm.
Julius was kind to Paul. He said, "Paul, you can go and visit your friends here. They can give you anything that you need." Look at how God done gave him all types of favors. He done came from out of the hellhole to the palace. God done gave him all types of favors. And the other two, they done let him have free course like that.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Hey, just go on among your friends. Hey, Paul, I trust you. You know, go on, visit, meet them. You know, do what you got to do. Get to know them, talk to them or whatever. But, right, go on, do it. Paul, I'm not worried. But see, when you all was talking, I left my notes. But when you all was talking, I was kind of thinking about this now. Julius, he was a very kind-hearted person. And the Lord will give us favor with mm-hmm. people when we think that he wants.
Mm-hmm.
Now, then the book of Acts spoke about Jesus, like, back in the chapter. Didn't he come in contact with Paul? I thought I read that. I don't have my notes. I have to go back and look. I'm sorry. But anyway, the Lord gave him all type of favor. Now, when I thought about what you all was talking about with King Agrippa and that Fester, I'm sure he was hoping that Paul was going to mess up. Because, he knew him as a troublemaker. So, therefore, what they did, I don't know if they were trying to set up a Julius or what, but from what I read, he was responsible for 100 soldiers.
Yeah.
Right. Plus, and Paul there. Now, okay. Now, you one person, you responsible for 100 people, and then you got a troublemaker that you trying to make sure that he gets to where he. You better make sure you got your eyes on him. But no, he said, "Go on, do what you need to do, Paul. You know, I trust you. I believe in you."
Amen.
I think too, along with that is that. You have a responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
So just because you have a liking or whatever to somebody, still, because he has to carry out his responsibility.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And get him, guarding, getting to where he has to go.
Mm-hmm.
But on the flip side of that, there must have been a certain amount of integrity that he saw
in Paul.
In Paul
mm-hmm.
and knew because he wasn't oblivious to all of these trials and hearings and what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's my assumption.
Uh-huh.
And
mm-hmm.
so he could just see or feel the integrity. Now, when a prisoner is really, need to be handled or hanged, whatever, but all of these times, and he was just saying, you know, about his innocence of those charges, but still, that this man must have felt there was a certain amount of integrity. So that was also the reason why I say, go let your friends care for you, whatever you need to get from them, whatever they're going to give you, you know, and I'll see you back here. So, you know, people will know you by that walk. And when I
there
think that Sister Tenny was talking about, I think it was either she or you that mentioned about him getting on the ship, and there were people that, if they didn't know him personally, they knew of him, they came from places where he had been.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just like God getting you, moving you, uprooting you out of one place, a city to another,
mm-hmm.
even a different state.
Mm-hmm.
And all glory to God if this hasn't happened. You get in another place, another state, somewhere, and you go to a church and run smack dead in somebody that was from your hometown. You stay sober. You're like, you go to this church? I was wondering where you were, and, you know, just like God to put somebody
absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
I don't know if that ever.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, then. It's just like, wait a minute. I think I know you. You look familiar. Then you be thinking in your mind, nah. That can't be because everywhere you go, somebody look like somebody else, you know, whatever. But
amen. God got a way to do that.
Oh yeah.
And I had an opportunity, you know, when the schools were open, I was a mentor in the schools in Henry County.
Yeah.
And I was wanting to meet this young man who just started to do PE over at the Austin Road Elementary. And when I finally met him, we were born in the same hospital in the Bahamas.
Stop it.
and had the same drive on how to help young men to become men. So we were in the same vein and didn't even know each other, but God just put it right together. And so God has a way. He has a way of doing that, even in these days and times. And when I think about what Julius did for Paul is almost like what Mary Magdalene did with the ointment.
Uh-huh, 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 uh-huh.
Getting him ready before his last trip. This is Paul's final trip.
Uh-huh.
And so God will give you comfort in the midst. Everything that's going on. I mean, it could be storming, it could be hailing, but in the midst of that, he work it out for you. I mean, Daniel was in that lion's den where the lions were hungry.
Yes, they were. They hadn't been fed for what?
They starved. They starved those lions. Get them lions ready. Oh, yeah. But when he got down there, he used them for a pillow. Now, you know that's God. Because the evidence is, and, you know, people try to say, well, something happened that the lions got distracted or whatever. But the people who put them in, you know, just like a fiery furnace, right? The people who put them in the fire, they got burnt. But the one who was in the fire didn't, man. You tell me what y'all can do. Did you want to say something? Mm-hmm.
That's why it's very important that I will walk this line and not with the talk.
Amen.
Because, I'm not saying the Bible's saying this, but I'm just going out there with it. No doubt, you know, people have been watching Paul. Like people watch us.
Mm-hmm.
And we know, they know our character.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, if they, okay, I know that Elder, he is a good person. So I believe with all of you guys that I could trust you if I need some help.
Mm-hmm.
And if I tell you not to say anything, I believe that I can come to you
mm-hmm.
and trust you.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some people that, you know, they got diarrhea on them all. So therefore, you know, there's certain things you just cannot say. So when people begin to watch our walk, they know our character.
Yeah.
So therefore, they can have, you know, they can tell us, okay,
hey, I'm in charge of you. Don't worry about what they did back then. Mm-hmm. You know, go over there, enjoy yourself. When I need you, I'll come and get you. I trust you.
Mm-hmm.
But they got to know you. They got to, so people is always watching us to make sure that the walk is lining up with the talk. And most of the time, we are talking, but we are walking in that direction.
Mm-hmm. And you know, Ella Ford mentioned about favor.
Yeah.
And so favor is so powerful that it captivates even your enemy. When you think about Joseph, as a slave,
yeah.
As a slave, meaning that somebody owns you, that's as low as you can get.
Oh.
You are a piece of property. But because of the favor that was on his life, he was given charge. He was given full authority over all the possessions of Potiphar. Now, Potiphar's possession was given authority over all of his possessions. Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, all of his possessions, including Joseph. He was a possession to Potiphar. But because of favor, now he becomes the manager, no longer under anybody else's authority. I mean, Potiphar even gave him the authority to run his house. He wasn't running his house no more.
Wow.
Man, favor is something else. I mean, even this boy coming and a young man come in as a slave and a foreigner. Oh, my God. Now, you know how they felt about foreigners back in those days. Ain't nothing changed, right? but when you think about that now, one of the possessions become in charge of all the possessions. Only because of faith. So Paul is sitting smack dab in the middle of faith. And so in our lives, we got to be able to see how favored we are. Even though our status may not be what you think it should be, but you're still favored. Because you are given charge of possession. Even though people might think you are a possession. Because we got the power to loose and bind. Right? So we got authority over the things that people think we are part of. And the good thing is the Bible said earth is the Lord's. And the fullness thereof. And all that dwell therein. Right? And now we join heirs. We are heirs. Go ahead.
Have faith?
No.
Okay, that's why I wanted to hear.
Not that faith.
Oh no, everybody, see, and favor is a funny word because it could be, I can favor somebody. Parents can favor one child over the other. A boss can favor an employee over another employee. And so that's favor because they got certain grace. They can get away with certain stuff, you know, and so that's what favor is. But when you're favored by God, other people got to recognize. And because you're favored by God, who owns everything, see, when you're favored by your parents, you get away with stuff that your parents got control of. Yeah, it's limited. When you're favored by your boss, you can get away with stuff that's in the company. Outside the company, you got a problem. But because God owns everything, God Almighty, you got favor no matter what. Your favor is unlimited because of who owns. Oh, my God, I'm getting excited. Yeah, the favor of God is not.
Okay.
favor. I believe that favor to me is like a gift. You know, you ask God for a favor. I mean, you receive it, you know, because when I pray, I'm like, Lord, I thank you for the favor that you have put upon my life.
Well, the thing is, once you become born again, you're in favor. Now, the thing about Christians is we allow things to block our favor.
Okay. That's what I
want to hear. Because just like that parent at home, although you got a favor, you keep messing up. See how quick that favor gonna change. And so we block our favor a lot of times by what we do, how we respond. And so when your relationship with God is clear, because the Bible say a husband can block his prayers by not being a cousin to his wife. God. So we got to be careful. We can damage the favor that's on our lives by what we do and how we operate. And so we see where Paul has been given, a prisoner has been given the right to go to his friend. Now, you know, you can have visitors, right? Not you go visit.
Then Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuaded me.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So apparently his word and his witnessing tool is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, because if you sit there and listen to it long enough, you kind of like, maybe this is not what I think I am. Maybe I am a Christian, you know. And I said that right there with the favor and all of that, it just flowed, you know. Go over there and visit. Who does that? And you a prisoner? Nobody. Look, you need to be handcuffed and in this
place. Okay, God, come on.
So yeah.
And that's what Ella Ford said about favor is it. Because nobody in their right mind as a soldier, and somebody not who's a novice, to become a captain or a centurion over all these 100 men, you can't be somebody who just came up through the ranks. I mean, somebody who just got appointed. This is somebody who knows, but because of the favor of God on Paul's life and God and the Holy Ghost influencing this man to say, hey, you give that one grace. Because everybody don't give you grace just because of you. It's what the Holy Ghost has done in the midst. And so now he gonna say, go visit. That doesn't even sound right. So not them coming to visit you. Man, you get locked up twice for that. He said, go. He said he was very courteous to Paul. And said, give him liberty. Now, giving prisoner liberty, they don't go together, right? Prison and liberty don't go together. Prisoner and liberty do not go together. But when you're dealing with God, you can have it both. That's the only time you can be a prisoner and be a liberty. If it's through the power of God. Go unto your friends and refresh yourself. Oh my goodness. Man, you have some friends who won't think of you that way. You done wrong. You in prison. Well, you got to pay for your. You got to be punished for what you did. But he said, "Go to your friends and be refreshed." Oh my God! I mean, that is just awesome. That God would favor you that much. You're a prisoner, but yes, sir.
I just wanted to emphasize, if I could have a moment just to read from the New Living Translation, verse number 3, where it says, the next day when docked at Sidon, Julius was very kind to Paul and let him go ashore to visit with friends so they could provide for his needs. In the New Living mm-hmm. Translation, we emphasize needs. And again, we're all saying the same thing about favor. Realize that when they put out to sea, they could have really stopped at any port. But the port that they stopped at in Sidon happened to be a place where Paul had friends. And although, think about it, favor, although Julius was kind-hearted and Paul had a godly character, intellectual, very persuasive, good with words, had a Christian demeanor, favor allowed these two men to have a relationship that although Julius, who had the authority and the responsibility over Paul, that if anything happened to Paul, he would be put to death. And what did he still do? He allowed Paul to go ashore with friends that could have said, okay, Paul, we're going to smuggle you out the country. Okay, Paul, we're going to take you. Anything could have gone wrong. Anything. Mm-hmm. But the favor of God is so powerful and strong that was not of any concern to Julius. Also, knowing the integrity of Paul, I am sure that if his friend said, come on, Paul, we're going to help you escape, because he had to fulfill God's mandate, he would have said, nope, I have to do what God wants me to do. He would not disobey God and go outside of the realm of what needed to be done. So again, the power of favor, which is ruling all of this. And also in verse number 4, where they talked about where they sailed north to Cyprus between the island and the mainland, we're going to see the importance of why that was taking place. There's a favor, a strategy behind why they sailed the way they sailed. And we'll see what is.
So you read verse 4-7.
Okay. All right. 4-7. Verse 4. I'm going to read from the New King James Version. When we had put out to sea from there, we sailed under the shelter of Cyprus because the winds were contrary. 5. And when we had sailed over the sea, which is off Sicilia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city in Lucia. There, the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing to Italy, and he put us on board. 7. When we had sailed slowly many days and arrived with difficulty off Cnidus, the wind not permitting us to proceed, we sailed under the shelter of Crete off Salamone. So what's happening here is they're on their seaward journey, but you notice they're taking very strategic precautions and staying close to the shoreline because, as it said in the verse, the winds were contrary. And part of the favor, for whatever reason that needed to be done, that we might find out in future verses, they now traded upward, sort of like an upgrade, to an Alexandria ship, which is now going from where they are to Italy. And, of course, Italy is where the city of Rome is. So they're traveling all these cities, but they're trying to be very cautious because the weather is not cooperating. And we'll see how God's favor works in controlling the weather. Amen.
Amen. So now the precious cargo has to be protected. Because again, we said that this centurion's life is tied to Paul's and all the prisoners on there. and we're gonna see even later in after the shipwreck that how desperate that centurion gonna be about the lives of these prisoners. And so they're now having difficulty, and it's so what happens in our lives. As soon as we want to get to where God wants us to be, turbulence gonna happen. Trouble gonna come up. Storms gonna come up. So now in your head you're saying, now this don't look like what God says. And we start rebuking, pleading the blood of Jesus against this devil. And all the time God is putting stuff in our way to increase our faith. So when we get to the next place, our faith would be where it needs to be. Because a lot of times God want to give us something, but our faith can't hold it. You know, it's easy to get some stuff, but you got to maintain it. You know, somebody said fame would carry you to a place, but character will keep you there. Because if you don't have character, before you know it, you're going to, you know, Bill Cosby. I mean, as big as he was, now he, you know, he's a disgrace. And so with your character is what's going to keep you. So the Holy Ghost is what's going to keep us. So God, what God do for us is put us through some stuff to build us up, to develop us. So when we get to that place, we can hold our own with the power of the Holy Ghost. We don't have to, God don't have to worry about us making a mess. And so but sometimes we get worried about, oh, this happened. Why? I'm just about to walk into my blessing. And all this stuff started happening. Yeah, because God wants your faith now to be. You can't, if you coming from, about to say a ghetto, but if you coming from a $2 level and going to a million, if you don't get your faith up there to that million, before you know it, that million going to be gone. We're seeing people who win the lotto. Millions of dollars all of a sudden, right? Maybe a year later, they're broke because they haven't gotten there. So when we face things, when we feel, you can get a sense that you're just about to walk into it, and you feel it about to come. You know, like when I grew up in the Bahamas, we can smell when it's about to rain. You get that certain wind coming in there. Oh, yeah. And so when God is about to do something, you can almost smell it about to come. And so, but you can't get distracted by the stuff that happens in the midst of that. Because you can get distracted. And Satan would make you lose out what God has for you.
I think it's important, too, to have somebody at the helm that knows what they're doing and their experience.
Uh-huh.
You know, a lot of times we may go to a church and we don't have administrative leaders at the helm or listen to the Lord and know when to switch.
Right, right.
So in that verse here, it says in verse 6, there the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing for Italy, and he put us on board.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes, you know, after you have weathered and gone through this, that, and the other, take somebody with a little bit of know-how and sense that, you know what, it's time to dock right here,
mm-hmm.
and let me think what God
mm-hmm.
is saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
time to stop and listen and don't keep on pressing your way.
The
devil is a liar. Well, he could have just kept those things going until the ships was, you know, tossed on and driven on the sea and smashed asunder before they got to where they was going. But not only did he pull over, dock, think, and go, but he found a better, more sturdier ship. You know, like you said, it was an upgrade.
Yeah.
And guess what? It was going to Italy.
Yeah.
Got to get you there, you know, safely. I said, woo-hoo.
That's the thing about it. God going to get you there. That's why he said all things work together
for
your good. Now, when we used to go to the Outer Island as a kid, every time we have school break, we would go to the Outer Island to our grandparents. And there's a certain place in the ocean that it is turbulent, it is bad. And so every time we about to get there, everybody start to brace. Because we know it's gonna be rough. I think we call it Galileo Cut. And we know that when you're going to get there, you better hold on. It's going to get rough. And so, but it's just before we get to where we need to be.
Jesus.
It's going to get real rough. Just like Paul and I see, it's like he's about to get to where he's supposed to be, but it's trying to get rough on him. And so we got to be confident that know that if God said it, we're going to get this. No matter how it looks right now, we're going to get where he say we're going to be. And the thing is about us, we get so concerned about peripheral stuff, you know, physical stuff, natural stuff. We get so concerned about those stuff. I'm about to lose my house. Oh, my car is gone. My car is tore up. Oh, all these physical things that they make more of. they ain't went out of business of making cars. They're making them every day. They're making houses just every day. But we get so caught up on these physical things and don't trust that the God that we serve, even if you lose this one, he's still able. He's still able. And you don't even, you might look like you're going to lose it, but you don't have to. He is able to do I believe that God can do anything because he said so. Ain't not because of me now, but it's because of him. He said he can do everything, and I've seen him done some stuff that I know I could not do. I can guarantee you that I did not do that. That had to be God. And he will do that for us. And so, you say, like you say, he had somebody. God going to have people in place to take care of you. Paul didn't have to consider which ship he needed to get on. He had to make a decision on he got to change ship. He had to make that decision. God had somebody in place. And like you say, we have to have leadership that's sensitive to the Spirit of God to say, hey, you need to be on a fast now.
Yes.
So when Bishop Kevin called for a fast, he was calling for a fast, boy, what it was, the first part of the year. Every week we had a fast call. I needed it. And so when the leadership calls for something, you know, you can't be thinking, why are you doing that? If they are following God, you need it. And so in order to get to where you need to be, you need to just follow, let them lead you. And if they're wrong, guess who's going to get punished? You don't even worry about that. You don't even worry about it. If they did wrong, God ain't going to miss them. He going to take care of who he need to take care of.
We do not use wisdom.
Uh-huh.
I'm guilty of that too.
Mm-hmm.
We make decisions and then God be telling us, no, Lord, why did you let me walk into that? You walk into that with your eyes open. You did not listen when I told you to be still.
Mm-hmm.
Get away.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because again, that's the devil trying to stop me. God, think about Balak. He going to perform a job. He going to make him some money. So making money to me is a blessing, right? So anything trying to stop me from getting blessed got to be against me.
Yeah.
Now this donkey sees destruction, and he said, "I ain't going there. I ain't gonna get my master killed." God will put things in our lives that trying to preserve us, but we think it's trying to hold us back. So Paul could have thanked now, why am I having trouble sailing? I'm supposed to be going to Rome. Why? I should have smooth sailing, right? Why have to go through all that? I got to change ships. I don't get used to this ship. You know how we are.
Yeah.
I don't get used to, why am I changing ship? He complained. Paul ain't saying a word, right? So we got to be careful when we see what God is doing. We have to say, oh, God, okay, God, I don't understand this right now, but I'm going to let you have because I trust you more than I trust me. I'm going to let you have this, but I want to say it now. This is looking crazy to me right now, but like the kids say, explain me.
Well, what it's doing is you are a flesh and moving you more into spirit.
There you go.
And it's a whole different thinking process. I mean, what you would do in your flesh, just like you were talking about earlier about the bad decisions you make,
mm-hmm.
a lot of times we do decisions based on our emotions.
Yes.
Oh, this situation, they're going to turn the water off. They're going to turn this off. They're going to do this right here. And you make a bad decision
yes.
when you should have been still because Sally was on her way to the house to come give you what you need. But you so, I got to do this. He didn't tell you to do that.
And you done left home
yeah.
trying to figure it out
there
yourself.
You go,
and you missed Sally.
He didn't need you. He didn't need you to do none of that. And that's what we got to do. The more we walk in spirit,
that is great.
It is a different
yes.
perspective.
Yes.
It's a different teaching.
Yes.
It's a different, what is it?
Mindset.
Yeah, where you do a different the way you would do things differently. I
mm-hmm.
didn't do that because I was stuck on flesh. I was stuck on spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So that ain't what he taught me to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's different.
Yeah, yeah. You got to be. And that's what we're dealing with. Yes? Hello? It's
Elder Michelle.
Hey, how you doing there?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Wanted to jump in. I just wanted to jump in and just say, and the question that we always have to remember to ask ourselves as we go along a journey, just as Paul goes along a journey, is who's in charge?
Mm-hmm.
Who's in charge? And if we know and we recognize the authority of God, then we know who's in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And if we believe what we believe and we walk in the faith that we say we do, then we know who's in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And we should
That's
be
right.
resting in the fact that God's got it all. And no matter the end of the journey, it's still under the authority of God who is in charge.
Amen. That's exactly right. That's the whole thing about yielding and walking in the spirit, because the only time you can give it over to God and let God take it
mm-hmm.
is to be in the spirit.
Because
mm-hmm. this flesh, this flesh can't know it all.
Piggybacking on what Sister Tenney said, and also Minister Ali, is that so far as the character now. What you do sometimes can save other people's lives.
Absolutely.
And see, they kind of sense, they weren't ignorant prisoners. They kind of sense maybe that Paul had some kind of favor with the centurion. And
mm-hmm.
so since Paul kept calm and didn't say anything, do anything, see, with him having that much influence,
mm-hmm.
he could have gone, flew off the handle and got all upset. Man, we out here, you're going to kill us all. And that would have roused up the other prisoners.
Right.
But this word says here that it was us. He put all of us
mm-hmm.
aboard the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And so they all was calm
mm-hmm.
and got aboard the ship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the good thing about this point right here is you got to follow instructions.
Mm-hmm.
Hang on. That ain't the ship I got on, you know. And
when we ask God for something like Paul's situation, he knew God had given him instruction. We feel that God is not working fast enough. We go somewhere and then they tell us something we don't want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
What we do, we sit down on God. I'm not going back to church. I'm not reading my Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to pray. All you're doing is hurting yourself because all you have done is tied God's hand, well, he can't work for you because of your unbelief.
Amen. Amen. So we gotta learn. We got to learn to follow the Spirit of God. And like Elder Michelle said, we got to know who's in charge. And if God's in charge, we can't lose. He's a fixed fight. He done fixed the fight. I mean, we won already. So it's a fixed fight. So we know God is in charge. We don't have to be concerned about any of that. And we see we got I think Pastor Fair. Pastor Fair, you on the line? You want to comment on this word tonight, today?
The 27th chapter of Acts, I love it. The thing that I believe Paul was trying to get across more than anything, even though that people first began to listen to Captain Julius, Paul told him and the people that there were going to be things different that happened. And he showed the people that they gave everything up and believed in God. And that's what God expects us to do. We have to surrender everything.
Amen. That's right. That's right. We got to yield. And the only way God would even lead us is we a yielded member. You got to yield. And that's how we walk in the Spirit, because it ain't the you gotta. And then he said, "Crucify, kill this flesh daily." Good God Almighty, you know that's a problem where you got to do something every day. You know that ain't a regular problem. You got to kill it every day. It's a problem.
It's a problem. Wow, that's good. But you know, I love
the word
rest.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Rest. Yeah. And how our rest. Hey, I'm going to give this to you, and then I come back and pick it back up. That's not resting. I go and call sis. You know, I don't know if God's going to do this for me or not. You know, he hasn't done it yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's doubt. Mm-hmm. The enemy going to take all the debt and just throw it at us, because that's what he wants us to do.
Amen.
Is doubt the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Like this morning, I was talking to a young lady, and she said, "Miss Olin, let me show you my pictures." She said, "Oh, that's me at the club backing it up, you know, twerking." So I said to her, I said, "You need to be in church." And I said, "You can," she kind of kept joking around with me. I said, "You need to be in church." And I said, "You can go to church and get your shot on, not back it up, but, you know, get your shot on." And then she said, "Well, Miss Olin," she said, "I'm not going to even get mad with you about that because you're telling the truth." Yeah. She said, "But, Miss Olin, I used to be on the praise team." I said, "So did Satan." She said, "Huh?" I said, "So did Satan." That's why he got kicked in. So.
That's good. That is great. That is great. Amen. Amen. We see we done passed our time. Lord have mercy. I tell you, this hour just ain't less than long enough. We thank God for all of you who have tuned in from all over the world. Amen. We thank God for you, those are in the building. We just praise God for this book. And we got to know that when we're dealing with the book of Acts, I'm going to say it every time we get an opportunity, is about the movement and the acts of the Holy Ghost through the people of God. And so we have to make sure that we see how relevant it is to our lives today, how the Holy Ghost would help us in whatever circumstances we're in, whatever situation we're in, the Holy Ghost would help us. And we thank God today. We bless God for our leaders, our Bishop Kevin Jones and our Archbishop Ruth W. Smith. And we thank God for all of you who have tuned in. At this time, if y'all have your offering, please go ahead and those of you who are not here, just go online and to our app, give your offering, and then send it to, text it to 770-906-0607 and give the amount that you've given today. Pay your tithes, your offering, and so we can report what God is doing during the noonday of the Bible study. We thank God. Amen. So next week we'll be starting on verse 8, 27 and 8. Amen. So look at those verses. I'm telling you, it's going to get gooder and gooder. as we go along, if you want to get gooder and gooder. And so we thank God for everything that's happening. We're in the midst of summer camp and basketball camp and everything. So pray for us that we continue to maintain our, the joy of the Lord be our strength. And we thank God for what he's doing over there. And we bless God the lives that we'll be able to touch during this time. So those of you who have an offering, let's give you an offering. We're going to pray over the offering, and we'll be dismissed. Father God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for an opportunity to give, Lord God. We thank you that we have something to give, God. We give you praise. We ask you to bless this offering, O God. Bless the administration of it, O God. Let it go further. You said we give, it should be given to us. Good measures pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You said men going to be given to our bosom. So, God, we look for men to give it into our bosom where we won't have room to receive it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. God, we dismiss these people from this place, but never from your presence. We ask you to go with us, give us traveling grace and mercy. God, bring us back on that appointed time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let everybody say amen. Y'all have a great day, and we bless God for y'all. Amen. Hallelujah.